Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
And welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Happy New Year and welcome to the show, and welcome to 2020, the year that we finally catch ourselves a Sasquatch. I have one hell of a show lined up for you guys this evening. Ghosts, creatures, aliens, the whole shebang. So as usual, let's not waste any time and get started. So tonight we kick off the show and the decade with a call from Big Sky Country. This is Corey's story from the state of Montana.
Hey, this is Corey from Montana. I was a truck driver the last 5 years, and although this story takes place in my personal vehicle, it may as well count. I was in a 91 Ford F-350 4x4 hauling a loaded car trailer in Moult, Montana. And to understand the area, it's a very windy road downhill with like 30-foot drop-offs on either side of the road. To top it off, my brakes were going out, so I pretty much had to downshift to slow down and use the e-brake to stop. The other part about this truck is I had a really large steel handmade custom bumper on the front of it. Easily would have taken out an elk and I wouldn't even have cared. On top of the fact that I didn't really care about that truck and I'd be happy to hit something with it. Regardless, I'm heading downhill with this truck and loaded car trailer, and from my left crossing the road is a four-legged cryptid. It is a large, white, canine-like animal, and the reason I associate canine features to it is it had the backwards kicked leg. I don't know if it quite fits into your large dog category or not, but it was albino. So this albino quadruped is probably 3 foot tall at the shoulders and over 8 foot long because it could block an entire lane while it walked across the road. So this cryptid has white fur and yellow tipped spikes. And what I mean by the yellow tipped spikes are from its neck to its posterior were probably 6 inch at the base and 5 inch tall spikes of fur. They didn't appear to be hiding anything muscular or hard underneath the fur, but it was kind of like he had a punk rock hairdo with hair gel. And I thought that was really weird because it was probably 10 or so furry spikes. And the head of this animal, it had a normal dog-like muzzle, black eyes, it had pointy ears, like a canine, but the snout was unreasonably long. And we're not talking alligator, but maybe like a foot and a half. Long enough to say, hey, that's weird. He's got a long face. So back to my point about not caring about hitting this thing and not being able to stop anyway. So it slowly walked across the road in front of me. And I saw it coming, and if I had brakes, I would have been able to slow down and not hit it. But when it got to about the middle of the two-lane road, it turned its head, and it scared me. And I was like, you know, hey, if I hit this thing, I've got a really powerful handgun sitting next to me. It shoots 410 shotgun shells. I can put it out of its misery, call Fish and Game. They can identify it, and we'll have a really cool stuffed animal. But the look it gave me scared me so much. I swerved my truck and loaded car trailer with no brakes on a two-lane road with dead-end drop-offs to avoid hitting it because I wasn't sure I was going to kill it if I did hit it. And I was just so stunned and shocked. I downshifted my truck, slowed down, got it stopped probably 20 car lengths down the road on this hill, got out and looked, and the area was grassy, not trees. I mean, I know we're talking Montana, but this particular area was just grassy knolls and some cows in the area. And immediately to my right was like a rural housing development. And I'd have been able to see where this thing went. I mean, it was a downslope, a hard downslope, and it went in right into grass, and probably 500 yards out were houses. And I didn't see this giant white thing anywhere. This is September 2014, I want to say. So no snow on the ground, decent weather. It was evening. The sun was starting to go down. As far as I could research, the closest thing I could even come up to was an albino anteater from North America, which A, would be a sight in itself, and B, to be in Montana would just be something else entirely. I think in October, I called Art Bell when they had a cryptid specialist on. And she kind of wrote it off as a one-off cryptid. And I'm like, all right, well, that's cool. But I used to truck drive from Billings, Montana to Great Falls, Montana on a weekly basis. And there's this little town called Stanford, Montana. And on the sign for Stanford, Montana is this advertisement for this white wolf, the legend of the white wolf. And I'm like, well, what's that all about? So I stopped in there one day, went in their little museum, and they had this giant stuffed white wolf. And this wolf just terrorized this town, the local ranchers and farmers, and it was extremely smart. But sure enough, one guy took out his rifle one day and killed it, and they hung it up and stuffed it, and it was strung out from a line. Things tend to look a little bigger, you know, from hanging from a branch. But I mean, it was as tall as a guy. I mean, it was a huge, huge white wolf. And maybe this is along the same lines, I don't really know. It didn't appear to be a wolf to me. We have a really nice zoo in Billings, Montana, and I've seen wolves, and it just didn't have that wolf feel. I mean, it had the big bushy tail, and like I said, canine-like, but the long snout and the other weird stuff, it just did not scream wolf in my mind. But if you're curious, feel free to look up the legend of the Stanford, Montana white wolf, and if you've heard anything like what I've told you about, I'd really like to know about it. Thanks.
Thank you, Corey. Now, I hate to say it, but Art Bell probably should have vetted his cryptozoologist a little better, because I can think of at least two separate cryptids that could be the culprit in Corey's tale. The first is one we've mentioned here on the show several times, the Shunka Warakan, a name that translates to carries off dogs. Now, a specimen of this mysterious species was actually shot and killed in the late 1890s. The taxidermied body still sits on display today. A dark-haired, canid creature. Now, on paper, what Corey saw may seem like a Shunka Warakan. But what if I told you there was another cryptid that better fit that bill? The Wahila. Similar to the Ontario white wolf, and often considered to be the same animal, the Wahila, or saber wolf, is a large, wolf-like creature said to inhabit Alaska and the Northwest Territories. It is larger and more heavily built than normal wolves, with a wide head and proportionately larger feet, and with long, pure white fur. The animal's hind legs are said to be shorter than the front legs, and the tracks show widely spaced toes. Witnesses describe it as being about 3.5 to 4 feet at the shoulder, and Wahilas are never seen in packs, so are presumably solitary. Native Americans describe the Wahila as an evil spirit with supernatural powers, and describes it as killing people and removing their heads. That passage comes courtesy of Cryptid Wiki. So if we break this down, the color is right, the size and physical descriptions are as well. The creature was spotted alone, another attribute that suggests it may be one of these Wahilas. But what of the spiky fur, you ask? Well, predators do all sorts of things to get their food, including going headfirst into an elk carcass, getting blood, guts, and who knows what else on their fur in the process. And anyone with a German Shepherd or Husky can attest that their fur sometimes gets spiky in the back when they get wet. So maybe this was a blood and gut stained, wet Wahila. There's only one hang-up, though. Location. The Wahila is said to inhabit Alaska and parts of northwestern Canada. While in close proximity to Montana in comparison to other states, that is still a distance of around 1,000 miles. Which leaves me with one last hypothetical question. Could it be possible that a creature such as the Wahila is being pushed from its traditional range by global warming like polar bears and other Arctic-dwelling creatures? Or is it simply a very large and very fearless white wolf? So thank you again, Corey, for taking the time to share it. I certainly hope we gave you a little bit more information to go by. Now we're going to switch gears here for our next entry. This strange story comes to us from Miguel in Parts Unknown.
Hey Derek, this is Miguel O'Hara. I heard a couple of episodes ago that you were looking for some doppelganger encounters, and that reminded me that I had an experience like that. Well, I'm just going to get right into it because it's kind of long. So just as a background story, I grew up in Chicago, and I lived there from the time I was born, 86, to 2007, so that's important. So anyways, I didn't leave Chicago until I was 21, and then I didn't leave the state until I was like 22, 23, something like that. So from Chicago, I moved to Rockford, which is 90 miles north of Chicago. It's on the outskirts of Illinois, almost by Wisconsin. Anyway, so I moved from there to New York City. So this was like 2013. And this girl, where I worked at the time, comes up to me randomly. I'd never seen her before. And she's like, oh, how nice to see you again. And I was like, I'd never seen her. And I was like, she was super pretty, so I would have remembered her. And I'm like confused and like, what are you talking about? It's like, oh, weren't you just in Florida or something like that? And I'm like, no, I've never been to Florida, right? And she's like, but no, I saw you down there. And I was like, when? I was like, 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, okay. And so, you know, eventually she just like brushed off, maybe someone looked like me or whatever. So, you know, that's 2013. And then so 2014 or 15, somebody else comes and she was from LA. And I met her, and she's like, oh, I remember you when you were in L.A. And I was like, what? So I'm like, yeah, you were just there, weren't you? I'm like, no, I've never been to L.A. So, you know, and so she brushes it off and says, oh, you know, someone looks like me or whatever. And so then, you know, a third person, like 2016, tells me, oh, I remember seeing you in D.C. And I'm like, oh, you met my twin brother, Vicente. And I was like, just joking around. And she's like, oh, you have a twin? That makes sense now. And I'm like, no, actually, I've never been to DC. And she's like, but I just saw you over there. And I was like, no, you didn't. You didn't see me. And so, you know, fast forward a couple months or whatever. And then I live in Cincinnati now. And, you know, so a couple of months ago, this other girl shows up and she never met her before. She's from like Battle Creek or something. And she's like, oh, it's good to see you again, by the way. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's like, yeah, weren't you in Miami? And I'm like, no, I wasn't in Miami, but I'm pretty sure you're talking about the same person that everybody keeps remembering me as. And I call him Vicente, who's my twin brother. And he's like, oh, yeah, twin, that makes sense. Like, no, I'm joking. It's not my twin brother. So anyways, so I've been brushing it off all this time, but, you know, it's kind of weird that five people have told me that they see me. And they're like, they're identical. Like, we're identical. Like, same height, same weight, same, like, beard and everything. And I'm, like, 6'3", so it was, like, kind of hard to mistake me for someone else. But anyways, so I thought that was interesting. Just looking out, seeing if maybe, you know, someone else sees Vicente, I guess I call him. And, yeah, it's kind of weird. And I even told my mom, I was like, hey, did you have, like, an illegitimate children somewhere? But anyway, she denies it. And, so, yeah, that was my doppelganger story, and I hope you like it, and I'll stay tuned in your podcast. All right, bye.
Thank you, Miguel. That one is pretty creepy. Maybe you just have one of those recognizable faces. Then again, perhaps you started a fight club in the basement of a bar. It was a Tyler Durden reference. Or also, this could be one of those glitches in the Matrix that we often hear about. A hiccup in the quote-unquote simulation that allows Miguel's avatar to be duplicated. I have no clue about any of that stuff. Frankly, it's well above my pay grade. But what I can tell you, however, is that of all the doppelganger stories that I've heard over the years, this has got to be one of the eeriest. Not necessarily because of what happened, but the frequency by which it did. To be mistaken once, twice, or even three times would be significant. But for it to happen as often as it did with Miguel, well, that is almost enough for me to lean toward the paranormal. Thank you again, Miguel. And if this happens again, maybe ask the person that recognized you to show you a Facebook page or some other social media. In my opinion, that's the quickest and easiest way to get ourselves a direct answer. So thank you again, Miguel, for sharing that tale.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Our next submission of the evening is more in tune with the ghostly realm. At least, that's what I think. The following is Rick's call from the state of New Jersey.
Hi, Derek. I really enjoyed the show. I've been binging it the last couple of weeks. Anyway, I'm Rick from New Jersey, and this story happened last year, 2018, in Whiteville, Virginia. I was going down there for the for their annual science fiction fantasy convention. The first night there, there was kind of a pre-convention game night that I went to. A lot of fun. And I left maybe about 10:30 p.m. to head back to my hotel to get some sleep. Clear night, no issues with weather. And the town itself, it's fairly rural, but it's a well-lit town. So there's street lights, there's traffic lights. The roads at 10:30 were fairly clear. I mean, there was really nobody on it. It was, like, empty. That said, it was kind of slow going back to my hotel because it's one of those towns that's just rural enough where a lot of things run out in front of your car. And for the most part, all of that was easily identifiable. You know, within like about a 2-block radius, I had a raccoon, a dog, a cat run out in front of my car, you know, causing me to like slow down. I was already going pretty slow. It was a 25-mile-an-hour town. but all of that easily seen in the headlights or the streetlights. Until the next one, I spied movement out of the corner of my eye, so I hit the brakes. Again, nobody on the road, relatively clear night. And then I watched as what appeared to be a pair of human legs walked past my truck. And I say human legs because there was nothing above the knees. So I'm just sitting there watching these things walk in front of my truck, maybe about 20 feet away, no more. And then they disappear into the grass on the right side of my truck. And I turned my head to follow them to see if I could, like, see them anymore, because I didn't really know what was going on. And sure enough, I'm parked right next to a cemetery. So that's pretty much the extent of the story. I sat there for maybe about 30 seconds longer, just kind of, like, taking this all in. And then I just drove back to my hotel. There was no shoulder on the side of the road to park, and the cemetery looked closed. I wasn't about to break in or anything, but it was just really interesting, very different, and definitely a cool way to start a science fiction convention, if you will. No idea what it is or what it was. I'm not going to go out on my limb and say it was a ghost. It looked like what it looked like. As I said, a lot of other things ran in front of my car. In fact, a couple blocks after that, a deer ran in front of my car. Everything easily identifiable. Maybe a trick of the light, maybe a ghost. I don't know, but it was kind of cool to see anyway. It was kind of nice to, like, go down there, have that happen, and come back with a cool story. So anyway, I really dig the podcast, and please feel free to share this. Thanks.
Thank you, Rick. Weirdly enough, this is not the first time we've heard of only legs darting in front of someone. Several seasons ago, we heard from a caller, I believe in Alabama, that described seeing a little green butt and legs run across the road in front of their car. Another caller mentioned a pair of legs running through a kitchen. And on the latest episode of Paranormal Caught on Camera, we actually feature a story where a gentleman saw a pair of legs in a home in England. So whatever's going on, it seems like there's some sort of precedent for Rick's encounter. But if it's answers you're looking for, I suggest you follow the green butt. Because like Rick and our previous callers, I'm simply out of ideas. Maybe someone listening can shed a little light on this subject. If you've seen something mysterious, legs dart in front of you, or any other paranormal encounter, please call the hotline at 1-888-608-NIGHT. That's 1-888-608-6444. Or visit the website at monstersamonguspodcast.com and click on the Report Your Sightings tab for more options. And also remember that I'm still looking for calls from the Anza Borrego Salton Sea area. So if you've seen something there, please reach out to me. And I've actually received quite a few written submissions from a gentleman named Ray from that area. So Ray, if you happen to be listening, is it possible for you to call those stories in rather than email them? I would love to share them on the upcoming documentary. And speaking of the Salton Sea, if we head north a few hours, we'll find ourselves in the location of our next story. The following was submitted by Ashley from here in California.
Hello, Derek. My name's Ashley. I live in Monterey, California. I've called a long time ago and never followed up with the message as it cut off. But I lived in Death Valley a few years back and lived there for 2 years. And in my time in Death Valley, learned a lot of local folklore, but also experienced a lot of very interesting, I don't know if I would call it paranormal, but just very bizarre experiences. In my first year moving there, we would see these drones. They're actual Air Force drones that look like a plane. They're just extremely small. They would always be hovering just above the trees, and there's not many trees in Death Valley. So if there's anything hanging around the trees, you're going to realize that it's there. Anyway, we would always see them. We would always, poke fun about it and make up our own little, stories of what's actually going on. There was one day that I was walking to work. I only lived about half a mile from where I worked. Usually in Death Valley, there's not a cloud in the sky. And if a bird flies overhead, it's just a small little ripple fluttering over the foothills. As I'm walking to work, one of the foothills, which are quite large, I might say, was completely engulfed in a shadow. You know, very similar to when a bird flies over and it casts a shadow rippling over the land. This too was rippling over the foothill, but it engulfed the foothill. It was very bizarre, and I looked straight up thinking I'm going to see, you know, a huge airplane. First off, I might mention there was no sound. I heard nothing. And there was nothing in the sky. There wasn't even a cloud. It was very bizarre. I went to work, and I was talking to a couple of my colleagues about it, and they were telling me how they would look in the sky, see something there, look back, and it would be gone. Or, you know, they too would, you know, see, like, when you drive at night in Death Valley, it's almost as if it sucks all the light surrounding it. So when you're driving in this big valley, you can only see, you know, feet in front of you. You can't really see anything surrounding you. There's only the one highway going in and out of Death Valley, and everything on either side of the road is just covered in trenches or foothills. You can't drive straight. But people would talk about seeing two parallel lights similar to a car. One would be, you know, a bluish color, the other a normal white light. And they would keep up a normal pace with the highway, and the lights would start off in different directions. I've seen it myself a couple times. I just assumed it was campers. It was really bizarre seeing the light continue in a straight pattern without, you know, going over the terrain and seeing those lights fluctuate with the terrain. I never got a weird feeling about it. I just, you know, associated it with campers, but who knows? Anyway, so a girlfriend and I were going to this little ghost town where one of the local wells had ruptured and a lot of donkeys would hang out there. So it was just a popular place you can go and get photos of donkeys. We're driving out there and it's very far out. So you have to have a full tank of gas. And a girlfriend and I are halfway, you know, towards the tank, and we decide to turn around. And as we turn around, to the right-hand side of me, now, we're in a big valley, so you could see for at least 15 miles, but at the end of the valley, there's these, you know, sharp, very steep mountains. So I looked to my right-hand side, and there was this huge airplane. It looked like a fighter jet. I could see the person in the jet. I could see their mask and their goggles. I could see his hair. And he was flying just above the ground that I could see below him, but I couldn't see the mountains in the distance. So he wasn't flying very high up the ground. And we didn't hear anything. So I looked to the right. My jaw drops. I'm kind of in shock. I, you know, probably shouldn't have, but I swung my fist over to, you know, grab my friend's attention. She swerved, looks over. And the time it took her to look over, the jet spiked straight up and just shot in the air. We never heard a single thing. It was so crazy. We were so close to the jet. But the thing was, we were driving against the way he was coming before we turned around, and we didn't see it. It wasn't until we turned around and I just happened to be looking out the window that I noticed it was there. And my girlfriend saw it. It was weird. But in Death Valley, it's known that there's quote-unquote Area 51 out there. And the local area has surrounding Air Force bases, not all of which are located on a map. There's a little town you could go to called Panamount Springs, something of that nature, I can't recall. And you could go there. It's the best place to get gas, and it's notorious for, you know, watching fighter jets do these crazy intense maneuvers. You see them, you know, fighting against each other, or a cluster of them just dive bombing and doing all kinds of weird maneuvers. It's really cool, quite the spectacle. I was talking to a couple colleagues about seeing that jet out there, and none of them were surprised. Nobody was shocked. Nobody thought I was a liar. Nobody was questioning it. They just accepted it because people see so many strange things out there. I mean, I could fill up your whole voicemail with all the experiences that myself, my friends, and, you know, my colleagues have either experienced or heard of. It's just quite a unique place. But I wanted to share my story. I called it in a very long time ago and never followed up with that. I think I got cut off. I really appreciate your podcast. It's awesome. It's a really, you know, great opportunity for people to call in and give their experiences, feel heard, and also listen to other people. It's a great podcast. You're doing a great job. I hope you have a great evening, and hopefully I'll call in the future. Take care.
Thank you, Ashley. That area really seems to have some sort of magic to it. Now, I've never actually been in Death Valley, but if I play my cards right, that might change in the coming months. But I have been on the outskirts several times, and I myself have noticed a military presence. The last few years, I was fishing in Kernville, a small town a little over 150 miles from Death Valley. I saw numerous military jets ripping through the canyons. None that I sighted were unidentified or silent. But given the numerous bases in that area, nothing would surprise me. So thank you again, Ashley, for taking the time to share that call. And next time, see what you can do to maybe snap a picture of one of these mystery planes. Just whatever you do, be mindful of the infamous Men in Black.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Now, I have a few more stories to share with you tonight that might just blow your mind. But before we get to those, follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And don't forget about that infamous Facebook group. Addie, Warren, Tony, John, and Sarah do a bang-up job of delivering news, stories, show info, and plenty of memes. So join that little community today. Maybe you're one of the unlucky that didn't get what you wanted for Christmas. Well, luckily for you, the Monsters Among Us shop is open 24/7. So swing by and pick up a t-shirt, hat, mug, or coming soon, tote bag. Hit up the website at monstersamonguspodcast.com and click on the shop tab. For those of you with a time machine, Season 2 of Paranormal Caught on Camera kicks off on January 1st. Obviously, you missed it, but you can catch the rest of the season at 10 p.m. on the Travel Channel every Wednesday evening. And if you watch carefully, you just might catch yours truly in a segment or two. All right, enough of those boring announcements. Let's hear something scary. Well, I believe Connor's call from the state of Georgia may be exactly what we have in mind.
How's it going, Derek? My name is Connor. I do not care if you use that on the air, but I've got a story from when I was living in Savannah, Georgia for about 10 years. And my buddy and I had this pretty insane encounter with unknown objects one night. And I think it was our junior year of high school, so that'd be 2011. And I don't remember the exact day, but I know it was a Friday night in October of 2011, and my buddy Brennan and I were driving about 45 minutes to our friend's house in Pooler, Georgia for a party. I want to be clear up front, we hadn't drank any alcohol yet at this point, but I think we did smoke weed about an hour or two before we ended up driving out there, so weren't really feeling it too much, but we were maybe about 15 minutes from the house party, and we were driving with all our windows down, the sunroof open, because it was a really nice night, very clear, not too cold. And as we turn off the main road out onto like a quieter side street, I remember looking up through the sunroof and I saw a couple, maybe a dozen, orange looking pulsating orbs that were flying what seemed to be like maybe 50 yards above the treetops. And I remember yelling at my buddy and just saying, hey, you know, look at this. And he looked through the sunroof and then out his driver window and saw it too. And as we were staring at them, we turned onto another street and we looked up and out in front of the windshield and saw maybe 8 or 9 cars pulled over too, with the occupants and drivers standing outside the cars looking up at the sky, and some were pointing and trying to take pictures and stuff. So we knew we weren't, super messed up or, seeing things. And we pulled over right, behind the rest of the cars in a line kind of on the side of the road. Once we pulled over, we looked up after we got out of the car, and there were maybe 200 to 300 of these pulsating orbs up in the sky, just flying in this like perfect grid formation. And I remember trying to take a few pictures with my phone, but none of the orbs ever showed up on the pictures, even when we tried editing them and stuff. But, as we're staring up at it, having no idea what this stuff is, I remember one of the other drivers who'd pulled over, an older gentleman, looked at my buddy and I and just said, and I'll remember this, "Boys, you'll never see something like this again." And then, a few minutes later, the formation of orbs passed fully overhead and the sky was empty. So my buddy and I immediately jumped back in the car and tried to head in the direction that we thought they went. But we never ended up, seeing anything else. And although this was like 7-8 years ago, I can't remember off the top of my head, but my buddy and I still talk about this and are still at a complete loss as to what we saw. We, scoured the internet looking for any mention of, this, I guess, event anywhere. And to this day, neither of us have ever found anything on the internet or anything outside of each other's account. I guess I was really lucky to, have someone who's still one of my best friends, witness it with me. And I hear a lot of people saying that, other people that they see things with, don't necessarily corroborate it or, don't want to talk about it. But Brendan and I have always been super, into talking about it. And we never really felt like we could share it with too many people because it just sounded ridiculous. I remember when we went to the party, after we saw everything, eventually everyone there was like, "Oh, you guys must be, super drunk or really messed up. Like that makes no sense." And, we just stopped talking about it pretty quickly. But that's my story, Derek. I just wanted to say I just got into your show pretty recently and I've been listening to it about every day. And after hearing so many UFO experiences and the way that you treat them and the people who reach out to you, it made me want to reach out as well. Let me know what you think, and thanks for your time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Connor. Speaking of paranormal caught on camera, on Season 2, I reviewed several videos showing what Connor appears to be describing. One was obviously a balloon release. The other, I believe, was a flock of birds, illuminated by city lights below. But still, a few of the others were not so easily dismissed. I'm wondering now if one of the other cars that stopped with Connor to observe this strange phenomenon managed to catch some footage. Maybe someone out there has seen something from Georgia that kind of fits this description. If that's the case, please shoot me an email. Now, weirdly enough, the mention of drones forming a grid fired something in my brain. A news story I remember reading about just last week. The following clip comes courtesy of NBC Nightly News.
Tonight, a growing mystery in the night sky over Colorado. Fleets of unidentified drones reportedly flying in grid patterns, even spotted by law enforcement.
I had what I believe to be a drone pass over me, and it was headed east towards Yuma.
Some residents giving chase.
We got close to one, and it descended. I swear it got closer to us, and then the light shut off.
So far, this video they shot is the best evidence to emerge. The sightings reported across 5 counties in Colorado, as many as 30 drones flying in formation, some with wingspans estimated at 6 feet, with the FAA saying they don't have any concrete information to act on. On Facebook, some residents asking, can we shoot them down if over our property? But authorities warn shooting at them is dangerous and unlawful, and at this point, while the drones may be mysterious, they don't appear malicious. Gotti Schwartz, NBC News.
Something tells me that the Colorado incident and the Georgia incident are two separate, incidents. and probably not related at all. Then again, the descriptions aren't far apart. So is this some sort of government program, perhaps? Something like Ashley's experience in Death Valley? Drone reconnaissance? If so, what are they looking for? What are they capable of? And more importantly, where do they come from? Thank you again, Connor, for taking the time to share that experience. And do me a favor, keep those eyes towards the skies.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And that's going to bring us to our final call of the evening. We've skirted around this particular subject many times, but I feel like we've never really dove into it. Until now. The following is Julie's call from the state of Oregon.
Good morning, Derek. My name's Julie, and I'm from Oregon. I was about 3 years old, so this would have been 80, 81. And I started having nightmares that little warthog people were coming to my window at night, trying to take me somewhere. I know they were little because they were about my size. They were maybe about, 3 feet tall, 4 feet tall. I told my mom about this, and my mom and my dad just had no idea of what I was talking about. They just thought I was maybe having, nightmares like little kids do. I remember being really upset about them thinking that because I knew they were real and they were coming to my window, and I was absolutely terrified. And I had nightmares at that time in my life, and they were nothing like little warthog people. Well, one night I went to sleep and woke up knowing that the little blue warthog people were at my window again. I was terrified. I put the blanket over my head, as my mom had taught me to do when I was afraid. Well, the next thing I remember is the little blue warthog people. I'll describe them better, I guess. They were about, like I said, 3 to 4 feet tall. They had these cape cloak things on that covered their head, like a hat or something. Their faces were exposed still. They didn't seem to have a neck. They had little arms. They were kind of roly-poly in shape, and they were bumpy. This is part of why I called them the warthog people, and they also had what I could best describe as upturned noses. Really big eyes. Like I said before, they were blue in nature. Like a gray blue. At any rate, they had taken me to some place and it was cold. And I looked around and everything was silver. I remember laying on a silver table This was before I had any idea of surgical tables, but that was very much like an autopsy table, you know, something that would be sterile and just, it was completely flat. I remember having a sheet of some sort over my body, and I recall being so completely terrified that I decided to try to fool them into thinking I was dead. Because if they thought I was dead, they would have no interest in me anymore. So I was holding my breath and attempting to breathe as shallow as possible. But for some reason, I could see them, though I feel like I had my eyes closed. But I could see them. And they were talking, but I didn't understand them. They were communicating with one another. And then all of a sudden, there was a door, and the room was round. I know it sounds so cliche. And in walked what at the time I had no reference for as well, but also now I do. It was a gray alien. He was tall, gray. He wasn't wearing any clothes. He had big almond eyes, and he was so much more scary to me than the little blue men. I suddenly was even more afraid than I had been before. I remember the gray coming in. I always referred to him as the man in my mind. But he came in and he seemed, I don't know how to describe it. He was angry or upset with them, but he wasn't actually, there was no emotion to it. He was just disciplining them. And I remember very clearly hearing him talking, but he wasn't opening his mouth. The gray man was disciplining the little blue men for bringing me. And I remember distinctly hearing the words, "She knows she's here." And it was just like that that he said it. "She knows she's here. Take her back now." And just like that, I was waking up in my bed. My bed was soaking wet. For a second, being, you know, a little child, I thought that I had peed the bed, but I realized quickly the entire bed was soaking wet. I knew the little men were outside my window. I could hear them. I don't know how I heard them, but I could hear them making their weird little sounds. They made weird sounds. They didn't talk. They, like, we talk, but they, it was like animals or something. They were, like, making weird little sounds. And I heard them going away from my window, and I immediately tore the blanket off of myself and ran out to my parents. Now, as I grew up, I never forgot that dream because for years I was terrified. I mean, it became less and less so as time went on, but I was more afraid of going to bed that first year after that than I've ever been afraid of anything in my life. That's how come I remember so clearly what had happened to me. I didn't even tell my parents for a long time because I was just so scared, and I didn't think they would believe me because I'd already told them that they were trying to take me. So I didn't think they would believe me. Well, time goes on. I grow up. I start learning about aliens, and, you know, they're never described as little blue warthog people. Now you fast forward to, you know, about 2005, and I watched for the first time the movie Communion with Christopher Walken. And he had the little blue people in his movie were, I'm almost crying, were exactly like the little guys I saw that took me to this place. And furthermore, they're associated with the grays, and I have no idea what all of that was. It was extremely validating seeing that movie And I kept thinking, oh, that's based on a true story, based on a true writer. Maybe I should let him know that I've had a similar experience and he's not crazy. And of course I didn't. I've just actually kept the story to myself almost completely for years. I finally told my mother about the little blue people and what had happened to me. And she said she knew something had happened because she'd never seen me so terrified for so long. Well, now you fast forward again to about 2008. My mom had breast cancer. She's going through the pre-treatment before they go in and do surgery to remove the lump. And they had to do a complete scan, an MRI, a complete CT scan. And they came back to her, my mom's doctors, and were argumentative with her about how she hadn't filled out her forms correctly, that she had had surgery before. And she said, no, I've had surgery on my hip, blah, blah, blah. They said, no, you've had brain surgery. And she said, no, I've never had brain surgery. That's something you don't forget. And they said, look. And they showed her these two rice size, so what, like a centimeter, just under a centimeter, scars that were perfectly aligned on either side of her head, where they said that she had had implants or surgery on her brain. And they were really adamant. They were arguing with my mother about her having this surgery on her brain, and they were showing her the MRI that showed where there had been, I don't know, these little things that were inside of her head, and they didn't recognize them. They didn't know what they were. My mom was in shock, and she just said, I have really got nothing to tell you. I have no idea what that is. So they went ahead and moved on with her treatments, and everything went great, thank God, and that was that. She and I started talking, and as I had said, I brought up the aliens experience that I had had, and she started telling me about how when she was 4 years old, she had this dream that what she called the sea monster would come to her bed, because she lived literally on the beach. Her house was a beach house. So to her mind, they were sea monsters, but she described my little blue guys. And she said that she didn't remember any sort of being abducted or being taken anywhere. She just remembered they would come in and she would start screaming, and her dad would come in and settle her back to sleep, and he'd go back to sleep. We really don't have a clue what either of our stories are. We know that our dreams are our thoughts at the time, that were that they weren't dreams, that this was very real, that we were very much being taken by these little monsters. And I have nothing else. So I do not share this story very often. I think I've shared it maybe two or three times in my life, because it just sounds so absurd and so ridiculous. And I've never heard anyone else talk about the little blue men besides myself, my mom, and Christopher Walken in the movie Communion. I, in fact, don't really look it up or try to investigate, because it actually scares the crap out of me still at 42 years old. I'm afraid that by talking about it now, telling the story or looking it up, I am inviting them back, because I truly believe it was a real experience at this point. Anyways, I know it's a long story. I hope that you are able to share it in some way, because I'd really like to know if anyone else has experienced the little blue men when they were children. Perhaps they have. Perhaps more of us have, and we were dismissed like I was and my mom was by our parents. That's my really crazy sounding, incredible story of being abducted by aliens, I think. I hope not, but I'm scared to death it's real. Thanks again, Derek. I really like your podcast, and I've been telling everybody to listen.
Thank you, Julie. I admittedly know very little about Whitley Strieber, the author of Communion, the book that the movie was based on, that Julie talked about. I did, however, watch a few clips on YouTube. The practical effects aren't exactly scary anymore, at least not to me, but a 10-year-old version of me would have been downright terrified. But I was curious about Strieber's experience, so I managed to track down an interview he did back in 1987. Here is a snippet of that interview. See if you can link any similarities to Julie's call.
My perception was that these small beings, about 3 or so feet tall, came into the room and it carried me out forcibly. And that perception is very vivid. Vivid in the sense not that a dream is vivid, but much more in the sense that life is vivid. Even though, as I said before, the way I felt was not the way I feel now. My body was tingling. I was semi-mobile. I wasn't really able to move my arms and legs. I was terribly confused by the speed with which things were happening. So I wouldn't say I was in a normal state of mind at all.
Did they come into your house then?
Into my bedroom, yeah. But I woke up and saw one of them. They made noises. There was noise downstairs. And I woke up and saw one of them standing in the doorway of the bedroom.
But every American had his alarm system.
It didn't go off. It was turned on, my alarm system. And yes, I do have an alarm system. It just didn't go off.
According to your wife, you completely changed from that day on. In what way?
Well, I became terribly nervous, upset, irritable, afraid of my own shadow, unable to sleep deeply enough to really be healthy, distraught. I reacted like someone who had been attacked, raped, assaulted.
What did they look like?
What did they look like? Well, certainly nothing like you. And you should consider yourself fortunate in this case. They had large, dark eyes, the ones that I saw most clearly, slanted, almond-shaped eyes that gleamed and were quite startling, long, thin faces. I almost would say that one of them had a rather sardonic expression on its face. Although I don't know whether I would defend that proposition. Back in 1983, something odd happened here that we relate to this now, although at the time we just described it to a peculiar event, which was a small white thing, about 3 feet tall, 2.5 to 3 feet tall, first appeared in the middle of the night and poked my wife in the stomach and woke her up and startled her, frightened her. We thought it was a nightmare, of course. Then a couple nights later, it happened to me. I assumed that I had had a nightmare because of her nightmare. And however, our little boy, who was then 4, we had told nothing about this. And a few nights later, he woke up with the same apparent dream. And at that point, we became concerned that something a little odd was happening. Then the next thing we knew, he had had a babysitter one afternoon, and the babysitter had seen this little white thing standing on the fire escape outside the kitchen window, and had been so terrified by it that she had called her mother to come help her. We don't know what that was.
That clip was provided by the Dutch television show, TV show. So maybe you caught a few of the similarities. Obviously, we have the blue men that Julie spoke of, but also the description of the grays being present. Julie's demeanor after the incident changed, as did Strieber's. And like Julie and her mother, Whitley and his son seemed to have some sort of connection They both seem to be affected by the same phenomenon. Now, of course, these details are merely anecdotal evidence. Nothing concrete, except for maybe those scars that Julie's mother discovered. Coincidentally, there are several different doctors across the U.S. that have taken interest in these strange scars and implants from supposed abductees. So perhaps, Julie, the next move here is to contact one of those doctors. Have them take a look at your mother. Maybe this phenomenon is something they've seen before. Hopefully that will help you get at least a few answers. So thank you again, Julie, for sharing that experience. I'm terribly sorry you had to go through it. Real or imagined, it sounds terrifying. And that's going to do it for this episode. Monsters Among Us is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Additional support is provided by Warren Ponabbitt and Addie Lloyd. All audio used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Additional support was provided by Addie Lloyd. All audio used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. And that music you're hearing, and that's Code.ag. Thank you all for listening, and until next week.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Tonight's bonus story is brought to us by Jay, in parts unknown. Hi, Derek. I have a story that my daddy told me. Back in the day, I used to love to go squirrel hunting with my dog. His name was Face. When my dad found out I hunted in the woods behind my grandparents' house, he became very concerned and said to me, "You gotta be careful." Apparently, when he was hunting there years before, he said that something about 2.5 to 3 foot tall that looked like a big ball of hair chased him through the woods. It was so close to him when he first saw it that he didn't have time to raise his gun to fire. He said the only thing that saved him was a hole through some honeysuckle vines that he crawled into. Luckily, the big ball of hair ran right past him. Now, this story scared me to the bone, and something scared my dad, and that's not easy to do. He was the toughest man that I'd ever known. I still hunt there to this day, but I still won't go that far from the house. Thanks for letting me share, Jay. Well, thank you, Jay. And I gotta be honest here, this is the first time I've ever heard of anything even remotely close to this. I've heard plenty of hairy creatures, but nothing in the 2.5 to 3 foot tall range. Which makes me think, are we dealing with some sort of juvenile of some undiscovered species? A young Sasquatch, Bigfoot, if you will. Then again, there's all sorts of skin disorders, hair disorders,
So is it possible that this was a known animal with some sort of genetic mutation that would cause its hair to grow much, much longer than it should have? Either way, we truly enjoy the story, so thank you, Jay, for taking the time to share it. And thank you for sticking around to the end of the show. Have a great night.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.